welcome to another episode of From a Girl's Girl. The podcast is officially a year old. Yay! I can't believe it's already been a year. Oh my goodness. The first episode was published last year on the 17th of May. I honestly can't believe I've been consistent for a whole year, never missing a publishing week. I'm really proud of myself. It's been quite a journey. I was so nervous when I announced the podcast on social media. I was worried about what people were going to say, how they were going to receive it, if they were going to listen. I was just worried about a lot of things. No one except my family and one friend knew I was working on a podcast. That's why I was so worried about the reception and how people were going to take the news about the podcast. I've grown so much since then. The show has given me purpose. I'm literally not the same person I was a year ago. Before the show, I low-key struggled with the fear of being perceived. I was conscious of how people perceive me on and off social media, but since starting the show, I've overcome the fear. And when you struggle with the fear of being perceived, you always try to show up as the perfect version of yourself or the version of yourself that is likable. You hardly show up authentically because you're scared of being perceived or judged. So you play it safe by showing up as a curated version of yourself. But when I started the show, I promised myself to show up authentically so I can connect with my audience and be vulnerable. Being vulnerable and authentic allowed me to create a safe space for women and girls where they can find healing and be seen. A space where we can just be girls, and a space where women and girls learn how to empower themselves in interpersonal relationships. That's why the name From a Girl's Girl was so fitting. I must admit that showing up authentically was a challenge because I was also dealing with imposter syndrome and the fear of being a failure. Before I started the podcast, I had everything I needed for the podcast, all the equipment and everything, but I kept postponing publishing and announcing because of the fear of failure. But somehow I kept telling myself that the podcast is going to make me happy, and I knew a lot of people were going to find the content valuable. So I took a leap of faith and left everything in God's hands, and it's been really amazing. I had some really sad moments this year, moments where shutting down and isolating would have been the best thing to do, but I couldn't fully be sad because every second week I had to prepare for the podcast, and preparing for the podcast is something that I really enjoy. I really love doing it. So whenever I had to prepare, I'd be excited and happy. So I couldn't really be fully sad, so I'd be sad for like a day and then I'd be back up the following day. So the podcast has really held me down, and great things have happened in my life since I started podcasting. I've been recognized in places and by people I never thought I'd be recognized by. Never did I think my podcast would be recognized in academia. I really didn't see that coming. I am so thankful to God for making everything possible. He really carried me through. I pray he continues to use me through the podcast, and may he keep the podcast under his protective hand. I'm also grateful for everyone who listens and shares the podcast with their loved ones. Thank you so much, guys, and thank you for all the feedback. I really appreciate you all from the bottom of my heart. May God continue to bless you all. Okay, I'm done with the speech. It's time to get down to business. Today I'm talking to you guys as if you guys are my best friends. And you know what's funny? I don't have a best friend. I only have close friends. So at least today I get to call you guys my best friends. So today I'll be sharing a story. This is a story about how I was almost financially groomed and how being impressionable makes you an easy target for manipulation tactics. Remember in the previous episode, I spoke about how I was nagged by some guy who was indirectly comparing me to his ex-girlfriends? Remember? So today I'm going to give you guys the full story about him. So last year in August, I met a decent looking man at a garage in my neighborhood. We exchanged numbers. He was charming, he was tall, and he smelled really good. He was exactly what I like he was definitely my type. After giving him my number, he asks what I'm going to be doing later. I lie and say I'll be chilling with my sister. And then he's like, oh, we should go out for dinner the following day. Okay, cool. I leave and he calls me after 30 minutes and he asks if I'm still with my sister and if me and my sister have food or if we need anything. I say we're okay, and then he asks if he can quickly see me even if it's for 5 minutes. He He says he really wants to see me and talk to me. He was really persistent, so I gave in and agreed to meet him. I met him just outside of my complex. And looking back, this is something I shouldn't have done. I actually overstepped one of my boundaries by telling him where I stay. I don't know why I told him where I stay, honestly. I think I was charmed. Anyway, I meet him outside and he's happy to see me. We start talking and he starts asking me the basic questions people ask when they try to get to know someone. Questions like, who do I stay with? What do I do? My age and all those things. I also ask him and then he says he's unemployed, that he's in demand, and that a lot of companies in his field or industry want him. He's just taking his time deciding which company to work for. He also says that he's more of an entrepreneur than an employee, so he's trying to push something on the side too. Me being me, I probe more about his in-demand status and his field. So I ask how long he's been in demand. He says it's been over a year. He was actually offended by this question and he took out his phone to try to show me emails from all the companies that want him. When he took out his phone, I was like, no, you don't have to show me. It's fine. I was just asking for clarity. That's when he said, if it's money I'm worried about, I should relax because he has money and he has dated extremely beautiful woman in his life. He knows that we love money, so I shouldn't worry about whether he has money or not because he has money. He continued to say that he's the type of boyfriend who gives his girlfriend his bank card and bank app access when he's in a relationship. So basically, the girlfriend gives him a monthly allowance from his money and pays his bills using his money. And the girlfriend can spend the rest of the money however she sees fit. He then said his ex was a very smart woman. She knew how to spend his money. She was not only beautiful, but she was also smart. Anyway, it was my first time hearing something like this. A boyfriend giving his girlfriend access to his bank app and her giving him an allowance from his money. It was really my first time hearing this. I've been in relationships where I regularly see the bank balance or know what the bank balance is and have access to the card whenever I need it. But what he was talking about was something completely new to me. What he was talking about normally happens in marriages or long-term relationships where trust and commitment have been built over a long period of time. When he said this to me, I immediately knew that this is not the type of relationship I want to be in because I have a history of being financially abused. I also felt like him giving me his card and access to his banking app or apps was setting the tone for a power imbalance relationship. I felt like he was creating a fake illusion of trust between us. I mean, he just met me and already he wants to be in a relationship and he's saying he's going to give me access to all his money. Like, how do you give so much responsibility and access to someone you don't know? You don't know whether you can trust him or not. And what if I was going to scam him? I just felt like it was just a lot of responsibility. And yeah, I just didn't feel like I was ready for that. I also picked up that he was trying to fast track us building trust between each other. And that is a red flag for me. Because normally when someone fast tracks trust, they want to get you to a point where you're vulnerable, where you break down all your boundaries for them, so they can get away with something in the future. Also, him giving me access to his money was going to give me a false sense of empowerment in the relationship. But in actual fact, he was going to be the puppet master and I the puppet. He was going to control how much money I see in his account while I walk around thinking this man trusts me and we're building something serious. Meanwhile, he knows that he's financially grooming me. I was telling one of my friends that if I met this guy 3 years ago, I would have fell for his trap because I was impressionable back then. And I know a lot of women are impressionable, and meeting a guy who says all these things sounds flattering. And being impressionable makes you an easy target for crazy manipulation tactics. a lot of impressionable women mistake openness for trust. So as he was telling me about having access to his money and bank app and all of that, he was also pushing for us to get into a relationship immediately. I kept telling him I want to get to know him first before committing to a relationship, and he was like, no, we'll get to know each other in the relationship. He didn't want to court me or anything. He just wanted us to start calling each other baby and do relationship things. He said women say they want to get to know a person just so they can gauge whether the guy can afford their lifestyle. So he doesn't believe in this whole thing of getting to know each other. He said there's no need for us to get to know each other. We can just do it in the relationship because he can tell he can afford my lifestyle. At this point, I was so annoyed by him because there were a lot of things that he said that were very condescending. This guy judged me for not having a child. That time, he has 3 kids with 3 different women. So I went back inside my complex. I was so annoyed at myself for even meeting him outside. That guy was a lot. He said so much in 20 minutes. I was so overwhelmed. Anyway, I decide I'm going to ignore him, and a week goes by and he's trying to see me, and I keep telling him I'm busy. Eventually, I tell him I'm not interested and life goes on. Actually, no, wait. Before I went back to my apartment, he wanted me to go with him to go buy food for his helper. When I said no, he said he can tell I have trust issues because I'm acting like he's going to kidnap me. And I was just like, why would you say something like that? I had already overstepped one of my boundaries by meeting him outside of my complex. I wasn't going to drive off with him to God knows where. And at that point, my gut was literally saying to me, Didi, get out of that car and go back inside. So yeah, I went back inside and life went on. And life went on after I told him I'm not interested. In January, he posts a story on WhatsApp. He's at Cartier, jewelry shopping, you know, diamond walk, the vibes. After watching the story, I jokingly say to myself, wow, Didi, you could have been at Diamond Walk with him right now. You could be shopping with him right now. But you want to take your time before jumping into a relationship. I laugh it off and life goes on again. Fast forward to February, one of the girls I gym with sees this guy walk into the gym and she starts freaking out. She starts panicking. When I ask her what's wrong, she says she knows the guy that just walked in and she describes him as someone who's dangerous, a scammer, and has a history of abusing, isolating, and kidnapping his girlfriends. When she said this, everything made sense. Him being abusive and controlling explains why he was rushing us getting into a relationship and why he was creating the illusion of trust. And honestly, him being abusive didn't cross my mind in August when I met him. I was just overwhelmed and I felt like he was too much. But now that I know that he's abusive, everything makes sense. So I tell this girl about the little interaction I had with him. When she heard he knows where I stay, she freaked out. She really freaked out, guys. She was terrified. She literally begged me to block him and not to say anything about her to him. She was even terrified to go home after the session. It was crazy. The things she told me about him were absolutely crazy and wild. Apparently, he does give you access to his money at the beginning of the relationship. But as time goes on, he starts to control you to a point where he doesn't want you going to work because you have all his money, so why are you leaving the house? When you stop going to work, he takes over the finances by controlling how you spend the money, and he starts giving you an allowance. And now you're dependent on him. If you don't listen to him, he either beats you or holds you hostage. These are the things that this girl told me. And I'm not even sharing everything because she told me a whole lot of crazy stuff. Yeah. I believe each and every single thing she told me because she came with receipts. And yeah, this guy's pretty scary. I was so shocked after hearing this because he looks like a decent guy, but I blocked him. I was so shocked after hearing this because he looks like a decent guy. Like, he really looks like a decent guy, hey? And then something interesting happened. So remember I spoke about him on the previous episode. So I published the episode on Monday, and the Thursday of that Monday, I bumped into him. I was at a shopping center. I saw him walk in, but I didn't see him walk out. But he saw me when I walked out. So what happened was that when I walked out and I got into my car, like literally like 2 minutes after getting into my car, he was already parked next to me, hooting at me. It was so weird because when I parked there, he wasn't parked next to me. But immediately after I got into my car, he was there. And I was like, okay, this is crazy. This is weird. And I kind of freaked out when I saw him like parked next to me, hooting at me. So I opened my window and he's like, hey, what happened to you? You just disappeared. I lie and say I lost my phone. Then he's like, no, you should call me and make time for us. So he gives me his number again because I lost my phone. As he's giving me his number again, he lifts a stack of 100 rand notes. Like a stack, guys, a stack, a big stack of 100 rand notes. I don't know why he was moving the money because he was in the car. Like, why didn't he move the money when he immediately got into the car? Like, it was so weird. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, this guy, here we go again with the money thing. The way he looked at the money, I could tell he wanted me to see that he's got that much cash on him. He clearly wanted me to see. I don't know what he was trying to do. Maybe he's trying to use the money as bait again. I don't know. But anyway, I take his number and tell him I'll call him, and he drives off. I didn't call him. I don't plan on calling him. I only agreed to call him because I didn't know what to do in that situation. So yeah, every time I think about the story, I wonder what would have happened if I abandoned my standards and agreed to be in a relationship with him on the spot without getting to know him. Because like I said, he was charming, you know, he was tall, he was my type, he was everything I like. If I gave him a chance, I'd probably be telling a different story right now. And I would definitely be back in therapy, not for maintenance, but because of trauma. Because I think I would have been traumatized by him, hey? That's if I would have managed to leave him. Probably would have told me to stop podcasting. Imagine! Wild! Sure, wow, that's crazy. You know, it's so easy abandoning our boundaries and standards when we meet someone who looks like everything we've always wanted, or someone who's bringing something new and exciting into our lives. I mean, look at me. I overstepped my own boundary by telling him where I stay. That time, I don't even allow people I'm going on a first date with to come pick me up. I always drive myself. But here I was meeting this dangerous man outside of my complex. Because on the outside, he looked like everything I've always wanted. You know, things started not to make sense when he opened his mouth. But from the outside, he definitely looked like somebody I would go for. I know having standards, boundaries, and putting rules in place is tiring. And sometimes you might feel like you're missing out on life because of these rules, standards, and boundaries. But it's important that we have them. We have them there for a reason. And the reason is to protect ourselves from crazy situations. If you're struggling with being impressionable and want to grow from it, I would advise you to clearly define your standards and to stick to them at all times. A lot of times we hear people say they have standards, but their standards are just performative. Because when tested by temptation, social pressure, or lifestyle offers, their standards become unclear. And that's why they get easily manipulated with all the high standards they claim to have. So the trick is to have well-defined standards and to stick to them at all times. Financial grooming is a real thing, and it often leads to some sort of abuse. The abuse might not be physical, but it leads to some sort of controlling behavior or abuse. It's difficult to recognize because it often masquerades as love, generosity, or support. And victims don't realize they're being exploited until the damage is done. Anyone can be a victim of financial grooming. Even a woman in her 40s can be financially groomed by a guy younger than her. No one is exempt from it. I think the best way to recognize financial grooming is to take a step back and to assess things or the situation when someone makes outrageous requests early on, especially if the requests are under the guise of trust or closeness. Take a step back and look at things from all angles and then make an informed decision. Don't get too excited, do your due diligence and assess the situation. Also listen to intuition or your gut instincts. When I was in the car with this guy outside my complex, my gut was screaming, telling me to get out of the car, especially when he wanted me to go to the shops with him. Your gut will never lead you astray. So always pay attention to what your gut or your intuition is saying to you. It will never lead you astray. Your discernment is your protection. And being impressionable is not a flaw, it's a vulnerability you can grow out of. You can grow out of being impressionable by valuing consistency, integrity, and genuine effort over surface-level gestures. I mean, if I was able to do it, you can also do it. Thank you for listening to my story, my besties. I really enjoyed sharing the story with you. Please don't allow yourself to be financially groomed or abused or controlled in any way or form. I love and appreciate you all so much. Don't forget to follow the podcast wherever you're listening. And don't forget to share the episode with your loved ones. I love you all. Bye for now.